Thank you, Cynthia. And good morning. Welcome to all gathered here and worldwide on our internet broadcast, Palm Sunday, First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin. Welcome to all of you. This is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. Next Sunday, Easter, and I should let you know that although you may have to suffer me this Sunday, next Sunday, Steve Newton will join us, and Reverend Newton will also administer the Sacrament of Communion, so keep that in mind. Rice and peanut butter for the Christian Information Service Center. If you don't know, the Christian Information Service Center runs a operates food bank, and one of the things our church is committed to is, along with a lot of other churches with different things, our commitment is rice and peanut butter. So it's become a tradition here to bring a bag of rice and a jar of peanut butter on communion Sundays. And there's a basket out in the narthex for that. So we look forward to that. We look forward to having Reverend Newton next Sunday along with the communion. Mardi Gras, the PELC Mardi Gras party, fundraising event. And finally, it is almost April, and finally, we will have that. It's on the 23rd of April, so keep that in mind. If you don't already have it, it's time to start getting tickets and tables. So several of the women in our church are working on that. There's information out in the narthex. Are there other announcements? Yeah, Dave? Thank you, Dave. Martha and Keith Sutton were members of our church for many years, and the choir and age caught them. Keith's gone. Martha's in a nursing home now, and Dave's kind of adopted her house to get it cleared up. So if anybody's in a position to help with that, please get in touch with Dave. Now, I'd like to do something we haven't done in a long, long time. So if you would, please stand. At a distance, please extend the peace of Christ to those around you. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you this morning remembering the excitement in people's hearts when your Son entered Jerusalem. We seek the same excitement in our own hearts. And we also seek to apply the teachings of Jesus in our own lives. His teachings of peace, kindness, love, and forgiveness. Open our hearts, Lord, and our minds to your word. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 51 and is printed in your bulletin. If you would, join me in our responsive reading. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out our transgressions.
Wash away all our transgressions, and our sin is always before us.
Against you, you only, we have sinned and done what is evil in your sight.
Cleanse us, and we will be clean. Wash us, and we will be whiter than snow.
Let us hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Create in us a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us.
Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore us to the joy of your salvation, and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us.
Good morning. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And for those that are joining us, welcome. Would you please turn to hymn 88, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And if able, please stand.
Amen. By now, I'm sure you've probably seen the little story on the back of the bulletin. It was from an interview with Corey Ten Boom, and I should tell you a little bit about Miss Corey. She was a watchmaker in Holland with her father, and she's also a lay minister, quietly living a life until she was about 50 years old. But then the Germans marched in. Miss Corey and her father began hiding Jewish people and working with the underground until they were finally caught and thrown into a concentration camp. Miss Corey survived. And a few years later, she had just finished conducting a church service. A man approached her, complimented her on the good church service, and extended his hand to her. Miss Corey looked up at his face, and she froze because she recognized him as one of the SS guards. So Miss Corey realized that this was yet another test of her faith, but forgiveness and love for this man seemed impossible. Finally, she shook his hand, and according to her, she says forgiveness flooded from her soul. Brothers and sisters, to me, that is forgiveness. Will you please join me in our prayer of confession, which is printed in the bulletin? Jesus, you are King, yet we do not act like it. You came in a humility. You serve and give your heart life for the world. We do not follow your example. We live our own way and reject yours. We only claim allegiance to you when it's convenient, when it serves our interest. On this Palm Sunday, we are reminded of how quickly our loyalty to you diminishes. Please forgive us for our hypocrisies and apathy. Please give us passion for you as we remember your passion this week. Seated. Thank you. One of the things I miss during this time of pandemic is passing our offering plates, and I hope we can return to that tradition very soon. But in the meantime, the work of our church does go on, and offering plates are in the narthex. You can also stop by the church office with your tithes and offerings, and gifts can also be made online on our Facebook page. So, please rise. We thank God for his gifts to us, ours to him. Please stand and join me in the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings fall. Praise him, all creatures here.
Today's Old Testament lesson is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, and that's verses 9 and 10, which can be found in your Pew Bible on page 884. And this is regarding Zechariah's prophecy about the coming ruler of God's people. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Okay. The word of God. Thanks be to God. We're not going to do a children's moment down here on the steps, but for the benefit of children here and online this morning, we're going to talk just a little bit. I know we're at a distance, and I'm sorry we can't come up here, but we'll manage through this for a few more weeks. So I've got a question, kids. Have you ever gotten in trouble in church? Maybe a little too much wiggling, maybe a little too much walking around or talking or climbing, or has mom or dad ever told you to hush or be still? Well, I know you have. It's happened to all of us. It's even happened to me. See, I used to be a little kid too. Now, it happened a few weeks ago to my grandson, Matthew. Matthew's 5 years old. Miss Jen and I were visiting our daughter and her family, and we went to church with them. Matthew had a book, and he was reading it out loud, maybe too loud, because it wasn't too long before I heard it. Matthew, be quiet. Now, that made me smile a little bit, because I remember when Matthew's mother was a little girl, and she told me the same thing, and I told her the same thing. Shh, be quiet. Except in her case, it was usually, sit still. Now, there's a story in the Bible about this, and Matthew, it's in the Bible in the book of Matthew. And here's the story. One day, Jesus was teaching to a big group of people. You know, they used to call Jesus teacher. And everybody was trying to listen to Jesus. But there were a bunch of kids there. And they were wiggling and they were walking and talking and climbing. And people couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. So the disciples began to shoo the children away. But Jesus saw them. And he said, no. Bring the children to me. Now, the story says he took them up into his arms. But some kids are pretty big. They're too big to pick up. So maybe there was a baby there, and he picked the baby up and held the baby in his arms. But every kid there, every kid, Jesus touched them and blessed them. Now, the point of this, children, this is your church. And Jesus wants you here. We want you here. We want to hear your voice. To me, there is no better sound than a child's voice or a baby crying in church. Kids, this is your church, and you belong here. One other thing I need to bring up. I believe we've got a new baby coming, at least in the Davis family, next week. I think Charlie is going to get a new brother. Is it a new brother or sister? It's a new sister, okay. Well, let's turn to God in prayer. Father God, thank you for the voices of little children and for babies crying. Be with Charlie and his parents as he welcomes his new baby sister into the world. Thank you, kids.
Today there are three scriptures from the book of Matthew. The first one is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And this is the scripture telling us about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Okay, now this next reading is from Matthew 24, and that is verses 1 and 2 on page 26. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly, I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Okay, and the last reading is Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 3. And this is Jesus foretelling his crucifixion. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was Passover, and Jerusalem was crowded with pilgrims. Jesus was trying to stay out of sight for a few days, but it didn't work out very well. They were in Bethany, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. Mary's sister, Martha, she lived in Bethany. But somebody recognized one of the disciples, and word got out that Jesus was there. People started coming to Bethany seeking out Jesus. And somehow, we don't know how, because the Gospels don't tell us, but somehow the word got out that Jesus would be entering the city this morning. And crowds of people, they probably had to get up and get out early, but crowds of people began gathering along the road leading to Jerusalem. Jesus had sent two of his disciples to meet a man. And again, we don't know many details, but Jesus sent them to meet a man who had a donkey and a colt ready, and they brought the animals back. Now, by now, I suppose that Jesus and the disciples, I suppose they were accustomed to crowds of people, but this was unlike anything they had ever seen. The road was lined on both sides with people, and they were loud. They were cheering, and they were shouting, and they were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And they were shouting his name, Jesus. So they were shouting and singing and waving palm branches over their head, and they were throwing their cloaks onto the road as if to pave the way for Jesus. It was exciting. It was exciting, but I expect it was a little confusing for the disciples, because Jesus had already warned them that he would be crucified. But for now, though, for now, this was great. They love us. They love Jesus. Maybe everything is going to be okay. Now, Jesus had been in Jerusalem before. He had observed the Jewish law and made the Passover pilgrimage before. But the last time he was here, you remember what happened? He made a whip. He chased out all the sacrificial animals. He turned over the money changers' tables. But they had left town before the priests could do anything about it. So, this time, what did Jesus do? He did it again. He went straight into the temple, wrecked the money changers' tables, and chased them all out. And he was shouting at them, "You have defiled my Father's temple and made it a den of thieves." Now look, maybe nobody said it, and it's not recorded in the Gospels, but you know that some of the disciples were thinking, "Jesus, maybe you need to tone it down a little bit." This time they didn't leave town. This time Jesus spent all day in the temple and the next couple of days teaching. Right there under the noses of the high priests, daring them to do something about it. And they did. They did do something about it. We read this morning about the high priest, led by Caiaphas, laid out a plot to take Jesus, have him killed. Not the people, but the priests. They had seen the cheering crowds. They had witnessed the adoration of Jesus during his days in the temple. But they also agreed on something else. We can't do it during Passover, or we're going to have a riot on our hands. We know what happened after that. Caiaphas convinced Pilate to trade Barabbas, the robber, for Jesus. Mocking him, Pilate had a crown of thorns fashioned and pushed it onto Jesus' head. Pilate also had a placard made up that said, "King of the Jews." Caiaphas didn't like that. He wanted it changed to say, "He says he's King of the Jews." But Pilate ignored him, and the placard wasn't changed. By next Sunday, Easter Sunday, the horrid crucifixion of Jesus will have passed. Mary Magdalene will have found the temple empty, or the tomb empty. And we will celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But for now, this is Holy Week, the week of the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. Now there's one more loose end to this story. The passage that Kathy read this morning from Matthew chapter 24. The disciples were sightseeing. They were marveling at the magnificent temple buildings. They were on the way out after one of those days of preaching and teaching in the temple. And they started pointing buildings out to Jesus. But what did Jesus say? Not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So, fast forward to the year 70 AD, Judea. And a civil war has been growing for years that's tearing apart the fabric of the Jewish nation. The old leadership of the Jews has lost control of the population. Their old Jewish laws and rules have been rejected by more and more of the people. And in no small part because of this persistent new religion of Christianity. And it just won't go away. They thought they had rid themselves of it when they got rid of Jesus. But it's stronger now than ever. And now the region is sinking into a civil war. The Roman government, they weren't too happy with the situation. For years, the Romans had used the Jewish religion to keep the population in line with their strict religious rules, with their temple taxes, and with the heavy-handed authority of the priests and the Pharisees. They all become wealthy. The Pharisees, along with the temple, and along with the Roman government. The temple itself had become known as Herod's temple. That's the same Herod that killed all the Jewish baby boys when trying to get rid of Jesus when he was born. How'd they get away with that? But you see, Herod had sponsored a great renovation and expansion of the temple. It was one of the largest public works projects of its day in the entire Roman Empire. And because of Herod's sponsorship, the Holy Jewish Temple in Jerusalem had become known as Herod's Temple. Under the Romans, Jewish authority had been oppressive for centuries, but now it finally boiled over. And there was insurrection in the territory. There's still anger over what had been done to John the Baptist and what had been done to Jesus. Maybe these people did remember what Herod's mass murder of their children. So today we celebrate Palm Sunday. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Thousands of people lining the roads, shouting and singing, waving palm branches, tossing them on the path in front of Jesus. These people didn't crucify Jesus, and they didn't forget what the Jewish bosses had done to Jesus. So now, it's 40 years later, 40 years after the crucifixion of Christ, year 70 AD. Again, it is Passover. And Jerusalem is crowded with pilgrims. A huge part of the population of the whole territory is crowded into Jerusalem for the annual Jewish celebration. And that's when the Romans made their move. Rome's fed up with the Jewish bosses and their inability to control the population. And Rome has made the decision to eliminate them. Three Roman legions, descend on Jerusalem, surround and lay siege to the city. They let Jerusalem starve for several months before they move in for the kill. The city stormed, slaughtered. The temple is looted, then burned, and then dismantled. Roman soldiers roll big blocks of masonry, the stones that were once the great temple, over the edge of the Temple Mount and into the streets below. Just like Jesus said. It takes another couple of years to finish the ethnic cleansing of Judea. But when it's over, the nation of Israel is gone. But this persistent new order of God, this religion of Christianity, it just wouldn't go away. And with the downfall of old Judea, the door was cracked open for Christianity to begin to flourish. This is Holy Week, the time of the Passion of Christ, when Jesus comes face to face with his destiny. And I've wondered, how did he do it? How did Jesus do that? How much courage did that take for Jesus? I think it went way past the limits of courage. Only his love, his intense devotion to mankind, could have sustained him through that. And he did it for us. Let's keep that in mind this week. Amen. Please join me. Stand together. And let's recite what we believe, the Apostles' Creed. It's printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And please, you may be seated. Let's turn to God in prayer. Lord God, your majesty rules over any little thing that man can build. And the gift of your Son, Jesus, is so great that it's hard for us to understand. Teach us, guide us to be servants for your glory, to be acceptable in your sight. And so we come to you praying as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we close our service today, would you please turn to hymn 89 and stand if you are able while we sing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Chanting clear and loud, the Lord of
Friends, this concludes our worship service. May God be with you till we meet again.